Turn in your Bibles with me again tonight to the book of John, chapter 10. If you missed last week, you might have noticed that we had finished out chapter 13 in Luke. Luke chapter 13, we backed up a little bit to catch this that probably took place between Luke chapter 13, verse 22 and verse 23. And I say probably, there's some of the chronological things in Scripture that make it very difficult. There are a lot of things going on when you look at all four of the Gospels, and sometimes it's hard to harmonize those just right. And I don't think that's anything that any of us could really be super dogmatic about, but just looking at it, verse 22, he went through the cities and villages teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. And then in John chapter 10, we have this account in verses 22 through 42. It was at Jerusalem at the Feast of Dedication, and it was winter. And so last week, we looked at the first part of that section, John chapter 10, verses 22 through 30. And we're going to pick back up at verse 30 tonight. Let's stand together if you're able. And I hope you're ready to get into the Word of God tonight. How many of you have ever wished you could hear Jesus, see Jesus face to face, and hear him preach? You wish that? I'm always envious. I read about the disciples on the road to Emmaus and think, man, wouldn't that have been awesome? I mean, they didn't know it was Jesus, but it was Jesus, and they got to hear him preach about himself from the very beginning of the Old Testament all the way through the law and the prophets and everything, and he revealed the truths of himself. And man, wouldn't it have been awesome? Wouldn't it have been awesome to hear that? And I think it's an awesome thing that we get to look back to the Word of God and see Jesus. And we get to hear from him tonight. And maybe it's not face-to-face, but his Spirit is in us, and we have his Word in our hands, literally, and we get to hear from him tonight. So it's an amazing thing when you consider you and I would give anything to get to see Jesus face-to-face and hear from him face-to-face. And by the way, if you're saved, you will one day. But the people who did, most of them rejected him. And the reaction of many of them wasn't to fall at his feet and worship, but they wanted to stone him. And tonight we're going to see, for which of these works do ye stone me? In verse 30, Jesus says, I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do ye stone me? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus, our Savior. We pray that you would speak to us through your word tonight and help us to understand truths, Lord, just to rejoice and find joy in who you are and what you've done and what you're yet to do. We pray that you'll help us. Lord, we're nothing without you. Pray that you'd help us to love you and be grateful for your word that you've revealed to us in the Scriptures, and just help us to know you, to love your word, and to be obedient. And I pray if any decisions need to be made for Jesus tonight, that your will would be done in every life as we simply trust in you and obey you. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. And please be seated. Jesus was there in Jerusalem at the Feast of the Dedication, or the Feast of Lights. It was wintertime, and he was on Solomon's porch. The Jews come around him, and they kind of accost him, and they said, tell us plainly, are you the Christ? And so he has this dialogue with them, verse 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, and he ends it with verse 30 and says, I and my Father are one. Now, there's no more plain declaration than that. I am equal to God. That's what he's saying. So he's declaring himself equal with God. Therefore, in verse 31, the Jews took up stones again to stone him. So is it the first time they tried to stone Jesus? If you go back to John chapter 8 and verse 56, John 8:56, Jesus says, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, verily, 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 I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him, But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. It's very likely that some of these Jews that were there that day are there at this time where we're studying tonight, and they're saying, tell us plainly if you're the Christ. Well, he already told you. Before Abraham was, I am. He not only said, I'm equal with the Father, but he made himself God. He said, I am Jehovah. Notice also that he said, Abraham saw my day. Abraham's dead and buried. Thousands of years ago. And yet, God speaks of Abraham as though he were alive. Why? Because Abraham believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. And listen to me, friends, Abraham is alive in heaven today. Because his faith was in Messiah to come and he knew him. He knew God and God knew him by faith. And so he spoke of Abraham. And by the way, I think it's awesome. Abraham saw his day. That tells us something, doesn't it? That the saints in heaven have some ability to know what's going on. And he saw the day of Christ and rejoiced in that day. And you say, well, does that mean that he saw the birth of Jesus? I don't know. Maybe he just knew Jesus left heaven and went down to do what he needed to do. I don't know all that that means. I just know that Abraham is alive because he has faith in Jesus. And he rejoiced in the day of Jesus. And when Jesus plainly said before Abraham was, I am, they took up stones to kill him. And here again in John chapter 10 and verse 30, I and my Father are one. Then again, they took up stones to throw at Jesus. Now, I don't know if anybody's ever actually thrown rocks at you or not, but I'm confident somebody wanted to. Now, some of you have had people throw rocks at you, and maybe they've hit you in the head a few times. I don't know. Maybe that explains some things. But I want you to know that your brothers or your sisters or your cousins or your friends throwing rocks at each other growing up is not at all what was happening here. These rocks were not like our gravels that we have in our gravel driveways. These are big rocks. And when they threw them at somebody, they gathered around them and they pummeled them with the rocks until they were dead. And I don't know if you can imagine that, but it's hard to imagine. And that's what they wanted to do. They hated Jesus so much. Their response to hearing Jesus, tell us plainly if you're the Christ. And when he says, I and my Father are one, they hated him for it and they wanted to kill him. See, when you don't believe God and you don't believe in Christ, you're going to end up in terrible places. Dark places. Hateful places. And that's where they were. Now, verse 32, Jesus says, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do ye stone me? And I just want to give you a quick overview. And I can give you a list later if you want me to. But let me just share with you this far. Because we've been in the Gospels for a long time now. But so far, Jesus has turned the water into wine. He healed the nobleman's son. He cast out unclean spirits in Luke chapter 4. He healed Peter's mother-in-law in Luke chapter 4. He had the miraculous catch, the great multitude of fishes in Luke chapter 5. The leprous man was healed. The palsied man was healed. The impotent man was healed. The man with the withered hand was healed. The centurion's servant was healed. The widow's son was raised from the dead. Possessed men were healed. The great tempest was stilled by Jesus. Two demoniacs were healed in Luke chapter 8. The diseased woman was healed. Jairus' daughter was raised from the dead. Two blind men were healed. A possessed man was healed. 5,000 plus people were fed by Jesus miraculously. Jesus had walked on the sea. You might remember the Syrophoenician's daughter was healed in Matthew chapter 15. The dumb man was healed. And that doesn't mean that he was ignorant. It means he couldn't talk. I don't have that problem. 4,000 plus were fed in Matthew chapter 15. The blind man was healed in Mark 8. Possessed boy was healed in Luke 9. The coin in the fish's mouth was found in Matthew 17. The man who was born blind was healed in John chapter 9. Dumb spirits were cast out in Luke 11. A crippled woman was healed in Luke chapter 13. And that's just a short list so far. That doesn't count when the Bible says that they brought the multitudes to him and he healed them all. I'm telling you that Jesus had done many miracles. And you might say, well, listen, preacher, I hear all that. But, you know, the Pharisees and the Jews, all those Jews, they weren't there when they were on the Sea of Galilee. And they weren't there when they were in Capernaum. And they weren't there for all of those things. But I know that they were there when the man with the withered hand was healed.
because they wanted to kill him because he did it on the Sabbath day. I know that many of those Jews were there when the man who was born blind was healed. You remember that? Who sinned? This man or his parents that he was born blind? It still gets me every time. What prenatal sin did he do? And friends, we can be really, really dumb sometimes. He was born blind, and when everybody saw it, the Jews rejoiced at the marvelous works of God. No. They said, "Who healed you?" "I don't know." He didn't know who healed him. In case you didn't know, he was blind from birth. And when he found out, he said, I don't know who it was. All I know is I was blind, but now I see. Nobody, it's never been seen in Israel that somebody born blind was given their sight. But this man did that for me. And he trusted him for that. And he said, I figure if he was good for the first part, he was good for the rest of it. I'll go ahead and do what everything else he said too. Hey, listen, they knew about that. You could say they didn't know about all the miracles, but they knew plenty of miracles. They knew plenty of works that Jesus had done. And the fame of Jesus in raising people from the dead went all over the known world. They knew about it. And so many of the miracles that Jesus had done, they could not dispute because they were done publicly where everybody could see it. They couldn't deny it. They couldn't just outright kill him. Not until it was time. Many good works, Jesus said, have I showed you from my Father. You see, Jesus did his miracles openly. He did his miracles publicly. He did it to show them his power. And I want you to get this because it's really important. Jesus never, ever put those miracles on himself. He never claimed it for himself. He never took the glory for himself. He always pointed to the Father. Why? Because everything he did in his earthly ministry, he did according to the power of the Father, according to the will of the Father. He put himself under that authority so that the Jews would know that he was Messiah. That was the whole point, so that they knew he came from God. He was always pointing back to God the Father, always giving him the glory, always letting them know, I am doing God's work. This is my Father's work. It's my Father's business, and I and my Father are one. See, all along he'd been claiming that he was doing the Father's business, his Father's business, and they knew he was talking about God. And he finally just comes out and says, I and my Father are one. Their response, let's stone him to death. Verse 33, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. I want you to understand this. These Jews, that day, verse 33, is an absolutely true statement. Do you get this? We look at them, they're the bad guys, they're idiots, they're always wrong. They weren't wrong. They were exactly right. Their response to it was exactly wrong, but what they understood from what Jesus said is exactly right. You're a man. He was a man. Messiah had to become a man. He put on human flesh. He became one of us. Emmanuel, God with us. He became one of us. He was tempted in all points, like as we are. So he was a man. They were exactly right. He was a man, and he made himself God. He claimed to be God. That's exactly what he did. He was a man who claimed to be God. Let me tell you the glorious truth, friends. He wasn't crazy, and he wasn't lying. He is, in fact, Lord of Lords. Isn't that wonderful? See, it's no different today. When we go out and preach the gospel to people, well, we want them to understand that Jesus Christ is God and he's the Savior of the world. He's the Son of God. He's the Savior of the world. He is the creator of all things and he's the Savior of the world. We preach the same message today and it's the same truth today and people have the same kind of reactions today. Some believe. And some are going to hate him. For good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy. See, they couldn't deny the works, but they couldn't handle what he said. They didn't understand the truth from the Old Testament that Messiah wouldn't just be a man, that he would in fact be God incarnate. They didn't understand that Messiah, they thought Messiah would just be a regular man. They thought Messiah would just be another David. They thought Messiah would just be another great king. They didn't understand that he would actually be God. And so they wanted to kill him. Now, verses 34 through 36, Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, 'I said, ye are gods'? If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, 'Thou blasphemest because I said, I am the Son of God'? If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe me not, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him." Now, verse 34 and 35 may be a little bit strange to you. What is he talking about? Is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods? Jesus answers their accusation of blasphemy with a question from Scripture. This is what the debaters and philosophers call a minore ad majus, a from the less to the greater argument. He said this: if God would call in his word those who got the word, if he would call them gods, little g gods, then I am much more, much more. Psalm 82, look at it with me, verse 1. Psalm 82 says, "God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judgeth among the gods. How long will ye judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. I have said," look at verse 6, "I have said, ye are gods," little g gods, "and all of your children of the Most High. But ye shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations." There's a ton there. But in verse 6, I want you to get this. He's talking about the judges of men, what we might call magistrates, governors and judges and kings and princes and rulers. And God calls them gods, little g. What is that? So this is the Hebrew word Elohim. It's normally translated God. And you got to look at the context, because in the context, normally he's talking about God. And how many gods are there? Well, trick question. There are many gods, but there's only one real God, right? So this word is used not only of the one true God, but it's also used of all the false gods, like Baal. He was a god that men created, but a god nonetheless, a figment of their imagination, but he was still, it's the same word. And here he uses that word to apply to judges and magistrates. And God calls them gods. What does that mean? Well, they were set up to be rulers. And they got the word of God, and they were like gods to people because they judged them. Everybody with me? It's no different than we see Moses and Aaron dealing with Pharaoh, right? What does God say? Aaron will speak for you. Moses, you'll be like God to Aaron. What is he talking about? Moses wasn't God, but he got the word of God, and he told Aaron what to say. He got the truth, the law, and passed it on to Aaron, and Aaron spoke it to Pharaoh and to the people. And so it's the same concept. And so they were upset with Jesus because he said that he was the Son of God. And he said, wait a minute. The scriptures calls judges, magistrates, rulers, gods. And if the scriptures can call people gods who are judges or magistrates, much more am I God. You see that? The argument is from a lesser to a greater. The lesser is, the scriptures call rulers and judges and magistrates calls them gods. And if they're gods because they get the word of God, then the word of God is much more God. Everybody with me? It's important that we understand these things, because I don't want any of you thinking or going from here tonight saying, well, Brother Isaac said we were gods. Right? Listen, there are some churches so-called around here that will teach you that you can become a god. Some of you are like, yeah, I want to go there. Check that out. I promise you don't want to go there. There's only one God. There's only one Savior. And he didn't become a god. He wasn't an angel who changed into a god. He wasn't some weird thing like that. He is the creator of all things. He is God. He was God. He always has been God. He always will be God. And his name is Jesus. He's the Word that created all things. And so he's using the scriptures to say, listen, you want to be upset with me, because you want to say I'm blaspheming because I'm saying I'm God. I'm right to say that. And according to the scriptures, others were called gods, much more, much more. So we get to this practical application, verse 36, this kind of practicality of it. In verse 37, if I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. This is pretty simple. I read you the list a little while ago, all the miracles that we have recorded so far, plus all the extra stuff that we don't even know. When the multitudes came and he healed them all, there's so much that Jesus did, and he showed it to him. It was public. It was out in the open. And he said, listen, if I'm not doing the works of my Father, then don't believe me. Don't believe me. But if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works. Listen, if you're having a hard time with this today, if you're having a hard time with me saying I and my Father are one, if you're having a hard time with the words that I'm telling you, you can still see that the man born blind can see now. That the impotent man who laid for 40 years got up leaping and walking, carried his own bed home. You can see the things that I've done, that they are the works of the Father. So if you believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. I can't read this passage without thinking about Nicodemus back in chapter 3. No man could do the miracles that you're doing unless he came from God. See, Nicodemus got it. Did Nicodemus believe in Jesus as Messiah when he came to him that night in secret? I don't think so. Not when he first got there, not when he came. I think he was saved when he left, but I don't think he came there that night as a saved man. But the miracles, the works that Jesus did brought him there. See, it's not just that he saw the miracles. No doubt he heard the message too. He didn't believe the message right away, but the works brought him to the Savior. And that's exactly what he says to these. I'm amazed at the love of our Savior. Are you not amazed that the people that took up stones, they were ready to kill him, had rocks in their hands, and he says, listen, believe me for the work's sake. He's still pleading with them to be saved. He's still trying to give them opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. You realize he could have just had them all dead in a second. But he's so long-suffering that even when they took up stones to kill him, he still loved them, and he continued to give them opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. His love has no limits. Therefore, they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand. He went away again beyond Jordan into the place where John at first baptized, and there he abode. And many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true. And many believed on him, Jesus, there. See, there were a great number of Jews that wanted to kill Jesus, but there were others in the crowd. And when Jesus left, they followed him. And they listened to him. And they said, you know, we heard John, and John said, this was the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. John said that this was the Messiah who was coming. John said that he wasn't even worthy to unloose the latchet of his shoe. Everything John said about this man was true, and they believed in Jesus. They believed on him. I want to know that sometimes we get discouraged We try to talk to our family and friends about Jesus. We go out door to door and we try to tell people about Jesus. And sometimes it gets discouraging because so many people, they really don't care. There's some people that are so apathetic, they just don't care. Shrug their shoulders. Hell. Not a big deal. They just shrug their shoulders. They're apathetic. Some people have some animosity. It's not that they just don't care. They actually don't like God. They don't like the things of God. They don't like churches. They had a bad experience, whatever it is, but they don't like Jesus, and they don't like churches, and they don't like Christians, and they're against it. And friends, stuff like that will make you discouraged sometimes. I can't imagine how discouraging it was when they wanted to stone Jesus. But there were those in the crowd who heard, and they wanted to know more. And they followed him, they went to him, and they believed on him. And I want you to know, no matter how discouraged you get, there's somebody. Somebody you're going to hand a gospel tract to. Some of you are going to start coming with us on Sunday afternoons. You're going to go with us, and we're going to knock on somebody's door. And one of those doors is going to be somebody who wants to know Jesus, who's ready to be saved. We're going to plant those seeds. We're going to water those seeds, and there are going to be some. And by the grace of God, many who will believe on him here if we'll be faithful to keep preaching the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's stand together tonight. Thou being a man, makest thyself God. And that's exactly right. God made himself a man to be the Savior of mankind. If you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, he came to die for you so you could have eternal life. You can trust in him and be saved tonight. If you've been saved but you've never followed him in baptism, you need to follow him. You need to identify with Jesus through baptism. If there's anything that's not right between you and the Lord, his Holy Spirit's convicting your heart, you can get right with him tonight. He loves you. And he not only desires a relationship, but he wants sweet fellowship with us moment by moment. So if he's convicting your heart, you come tonight while we sing. Page 5.